The police motorcycle accelerates at breakneck speed, rapidly closing the distance between us. "Which way?" Brandon cries. I can see him peering in his side mirrors. He's seen the cop. "Left," I yell, only because the motorcycle cop is on our right. The traffic light is red, but Brandon slides through the intersection, turning left across oncoming traffic. Given how pathetic our scooter is, he's trying not to brake as he turns, throwing us into a power slide. Any speed we lose will be hell to regain, and the scooter already sounds like it's about to bust a cylinder. "Pull over," blares from a steel speaker on the side of the police motorcycle. The police officer draws level with us. If anything, our escape is comical. We might as well be trying to outrun him on a bicycle. A few loud blasts from his horn precedes a second. "Pull over." "Hold tight," Brandon yells, riding up over the sidewalk and into Grand Central Station. "What are you doing?" "Getting us the hell out of here." There's an open door. People run screaming as we tear into the vast concourse with its polished marble floor. Brandon plants his foot as we round the corner, keeping us upright. The motorcycle cop is right behind us. The big, bulky police motorcycle might be able to outrun us in a straight line, but tight corners belong to the lighter, more nimble scooter. The cop leans into the corner, but his back wheel slides out from beneath him, sending him sliding sideways across the concourse. Transit cops on foot rush at us, pushing against the tide of passengers running out of the station in panic. "Lean back," Brandon yells. "You're crazy," I reply as we thunder down the stairs, bouncing wildly. "I'm crazy," Brandon calls out. "I'm not the one stealing a dead man's phone." My butt bounces off the seat with each jarring step we hit. I'm leaning so far back I can feel the rear taillight hitting my lower back. Brandon yells something, but the constant juddering as we go down the steps makes it impossible to hear anything other than meaningless garble. We get to the bottom of the stairs, and I feel as though I'm still bouncing around. Brandon revs the engine, and the rear wheel spins, unable to gain traction on the polished floor. I glance behind us. Dozens of police officers run madly down the stairs. Brandon eases off the accelerator, and the rear wheel catches. We dart out of sight, turning to one side. "In there," I yell. Brandon doesn't hesitate. He rides the scooter into an elevator as the doors start to close. He brakes and we slide. The front wheel of the scooter hits the back of the elevator, sending a shudder through us like two bumper cars colliding. The doors close, and I look around at the people in the elevator. There's a young Japanese couple. She's grabbing him, half hiding behind him. He's got some fancy camera with a telephoto lens, but he's holding it out as though it somehow provides protection. I guess it's a case of don't move or I'll take your photo. A young mother shelters in the far corner with a baby in a stroller. There's a burly-looking mechanic in stained overalls and an elderly lady with a walking stick. They all look terrified. Brandon kills the engine, flicks the kickstand on the scooter and pulls off his helmet saying, "Well done, everyone. That's a wrap. Nice work." My jaw drops. Brandon smiles warmly at the stunned passengers as the elevator rises. "Thank you," he says. "We couldn't have pulled off this scene without you." He smiles warmly, shaking the hand of the stunned Japanese man. I'm lost for words. Brandon reaches across the bike and shakes the mechanic's hand, saying, "Now make sure you sign a non-disclosure form with the studio if you want your name to appear in the credits for the film." The woman with the stroller is visibly relieved. She touches her hand to her chest and laughs. Brandon makes his way around the elevator to her and shakes her hand. "You can get autographed photos from the movie trailer out in front of the station." The Japanese man laughs and snaps a photo of us. Brandon points at him with a cheesy grin on his face. "I should charge you for that." And he laughs with the warmest smile I've ever seen. In that moment, he really is a Hollywood megastar. It's funny how perception changes reality. "Who are you?" the mechanic asks, but his voice is inviting, not worried or threatening. "Jason Steele," Brandon replies with what I think is the most absurd, obviously made-up name ever. "You may have seen me in The Black Knight." The mechanic smiles and nods. Apparently he's seen that non-existent film. "What's the name of this particular film?" the young mother asks as the doors open on the ground floor. "Gone with the Wind," I reply. "It's a modern remake." "Oh," she replies. I grab Brendan's hand and he smiles for one last photograph as I drag him out of the elevator. The Japanese man starts taking photos of what he assumes is a stunt scooter, I guess, if such a thing even exists. The mechanic laughs, joking with the young mother, but I get the feeling they don't know each other. They're both just relieved not to have been caught up in some shady criminal activity or a terrorist attack. The distinct lack of cameras, lighting, film and sound crew seem to have escaped them. Police swarm into the stairs to our right, running down to the lower level. The Japanese man stands outside the elevator pointing at them and laughing, but no one seems to notice or care. Brandon and I keep our heads down and slip out through a side exit as police cars come racing up to the station.